P-13. RMXT parking lot, Manhattan, New York. Helplessly, fearfully, desperately, and painfully, Emma and Clark stood with their faces all but pressed to the edge of Leisha's force field. They watched on as their much-loved husband and brother floated unconsciously in the air, connected to an impossibly powerful alien visitor by a cable that right now looked more like a tentacle extending from the architect's hand. Leisha knew nothing of what was being said, for he had been unable to read any thoughts from the architect's mind, even during the moments before his senses had been overwhelmed by a sonic sensation like no other. He had told as much to Emma and Clark several times, and on two occasions, Clark had asked for a brief lifting of the force field to check whether the painful sound remained in place. The insinuation was seemingly that if it wasn't still in place, there would have been something meaningful Clark could have done. He didn't have anything in mind until suddenly he did. And this idea, he was pleased to consider, might not be reliant on the force field coming down. "Wait," he said, reaching into his pocket. He pulled out a red patch. The red patch, for telepathically deep diving into any target's mind. Emma gulped, but quite tellingly didn't say no. Leisha, however, ripped the patch from Clark's hand by applying telekinetic pressure to the fleshy point beneath his wrist so his fingers would involuntarily spread. "You know the damage it does," he said. William Godfrey stepped forward, having been giving Dan's closest family some space. "This duty is mine," he insisted, out loud and clearly long past caring what any of the onlookers, Geller's political posse included, would make of his possession of this kind of technology. As he spoke, he stared deeply into Leisha's eyes in a way that suggested he wouldn't be keen on taking no for an answer. "Dan is out there, risking everything. Look at him. If I can hear what that thing is saying, I could—"
"Could what?"
Leisha interrupted, silently as ever.
"What are you going to do, whether what it's saying is good or bad? Run out there and fight it? Look, it's talking to Dan. He was unaffected by the sounds because he was invited to talk, just like at Lolo. Clark, you certainly remember that. And you must remember the drive-in, when everyone, especially you, thought that we were hurting Dan during our cable-based conversation. It won't be long, and there's no reason to think he'll be hurt when this is over."
Godfrey sighed. As insistent as he had been, he was as unable to overpower Leisha as he would have been to overpower the architect outside. Leisha was right. All they could do was wait.
"Never count him out," Emma said, fighting a brave but losing battle against more than a few tears. "Whatever they're talking about and however bleak this looks, never count Dan out."
Leisha put a supportive hand on Emma's shoulder, over which she gently clasped a hand of her own. There were no hard feelings, clearly, and in the moment, she didn't even seem to mind this skin-to-skin contact with the very alien hand that sometimes made her involuntarily wince. Clark turned to William Godfrey and looked at him for several seconds.
"Thanks anyway," he said. "For real. You're a better man than you think, Godfrey."
Godfrey was left to mull over the words as Clark turned almost immediately back towards Dan. Maybe Clark was right, Godfrey thought, and maybe it had taken the goodness of the McCarthys to bring it out of him. A glance to the other side of the spacious force field, towards John Cole and Valerie Slater, as they stood dumbly in front of a remorseless-looking Jan Geller, reminded him of the kind of people he used to spend most of his time with. The liars and the cheats and the scoundrels of the world. Life had a funny way of playing out. And if his remarkable friend Dan McCarthy and the tireless Billy Kendrick could get safely out of their current predicaments with no major damage done anywhere else, William Godfrey would never again wish that none of the events kicked off by Richard Walker's hoax had come to pass. "You'll pay for all of it," Godfrey stated plainly, addressing Cole in particular before turning back to his friends. He then put a hand on Leisha's shoulder, continuing the chain and showing there were no hard feelings in that direction either. With every ounce of his energy, the ICA chairman then joined the others in sending Dan every positive thought he could muster, and in wishing for a quick and bloodless end to whatever was happening. William Godfrey didn't know what was happening out there or what, if anything, Dan was being asked to justify, but he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt there was no one in the world he would have trusted more to give a winning account of humanity's goodness and worth than Dan McCarthy.